Does everybody have their chart?
With us?
You better believe it.
You're supposed to bring it with us?
I don't have that. You're supposed to have a notebook and a protractor and a compass.
Listen to me. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully.
I didn't get that yet.
I know you didn't. We are now starting a different trek in bananas. Up till now, it's just been fooling around and fun and games. Now, you're going to start learning the mysteries of God. And you're going to start learning them for the only purpose is that you might share them with someone else. So that you might give someone a reason for the hope that you have. Therefore, starting Tuesday night, I don't care if you leave them here, but I want every single one of you to have a notebook, three-ring notebook with notepaper, so that you can begin to take notes, and because this stuff is, at least on the surface, complicated. And you'll never understand it. It'll just be, you'll be like Rick your whole life. I don't care. I want you to bring. You can leave your notebooks here, but we're going to have to refer. I mean, you're going to have this. This is an easy one. This is the trespass offering. It's the easiest of all ones. This next one is a sin offering. And every element of that box, every box in that, reveals a mystery. And if you want to just sit and read it. You know, and you can explain, but my God in heaven, this is, I mean, please, I beg of you, it's time that we got serious. Okay. Now, can every one of you bring a notebook Tuesday night?
Yes.
And so when we give you these, a three-ring binder, so when we give you these things from now on, we'll have them punched.
Cool.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I mean, I promise you, this will be, this. When you can see it, it simplifies it. I mean, when you read all of the stuff in there about a sin offering and a trespass offering, it'll blow your mind. You won't, it'll be meaningless unless you can see it. Let's go to the book of Leviticus. If you look at Leviticus 1, verse 1, Leviticus, the first chapter of the book of Leviticus, is about the trespass, the burnt offering. That's the most important one to God, so it's placed first. It's the last one that you will apprehend its meaning. The next most important one is the law of the meat offering, and it goes all the way through the second chapter. The third chapter is the law of the peace offering. Then from the fourth chapter through the sixth chapter, verse 7, is all about the sin and the trespass offering. Now, again, from the standpoint of God, his measure, that his importance that he places on him goes, the most important is the burnt offering. That's the, from God's standpoint, that's the reason time and space exist, the burnt offering. Then comes the meal offering, then comes the peace offering, then comes the sin offering, then comes the trespass offering. From your standpoint and from the human race's standpoint, you can't apprehend them in that order. You'll get totally and completely confused. The only way you're able to apprehend it is to go from the opposite, to go from the one that's least important to God, which is the trespass offering, study it in its entirety, then go to the sin offering, then move slowly up until you finally reach the burnt offering. You understand? God always works in that way. I mean, he in the scriptures, it's a law of interpretation that the most important is always placed first. It's almost always the case in the scriptures, the thing that was placed first is the one that you won't understand. So let's look at the sin offering, or the trespass offering. Starting Leviticus 5, verse 14.
Oh, okay.
We're going to read 5:14 through 6:7. All right. So let's start with Jackie.
Okay. She reads all the time. supposed to be your favorite. Yeah, some sterile pleasure.
Now you understand, trespass means. Well, let's. It's a word in the Hebrew that means I goofed. You got it?
Sorry,
I goofed.
Excuse me.
Sorry.
And it means sorry, I goofed on purpose, but now I'm acting like I goofed because I got caught. Yeah. You know what that? You know how that feels like?
Yes.
Lee would never know what that one felt like.
I did it with full intent.
But the other kind is it means, oops, I didn't even know that I made a mistake. I didn't even know I was supposed to do that, or I wasn't supposed to do that. Okay, you got that feeling?
Two kinds of trespassing.
It's two kinds of trespassing: knowingly and unknowingly, wittingly and unwittingly.
That's cool. The offering is for both of those. You know, we talk about how ignorance is no excuse, and because it's no excuse, there has to be an offering for
right.
The unknown.
Yeah. Now the word in the Hebrew is asham. It's compulsory. It has to be done. This offering isn't optional. And you'll see.
Pretend,
huh?
You can't not offer.
Okay. Are you ready, Miss Jackie?
Yes. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if the soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, and he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation by shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. And he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet he is guilty, and shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance wherein he erred and wist it not, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He had certainly trespassed against the Lord.
Okay, now watch. That was all. I don't think you've probably ever thought of this before, but there are ways that you pray according to the law. There are ways that you praise according to the law. And so this trespass offering now that was between you and God are for all the mistakes you made in that arena.
Oh, wow.
The mistakes concerning praise and prayer.
Prayer and everything.
Oh, okay.
But it's not just the Ten Commandments. Remember, the first four of the Ten Commandments, the first table of the Ten Commandments, there are two tables, the first four of them are the trespasses that you would make between you and God, against God. The last six are the trespasses against your neighbor. So the trespass offering is in two parts. It's the part vis-a-vis your trespassing against God and your trespassing against your neighbor. So what we first read, the last part of chapter 5, is trespasses against God. But it includes all of the things like, taking the name of the Lord in vain, having another God before you, having graven images. But it also includes the things that you don't ever think about doing wrong, because you think you have a right to do them the way you think you should, i.e. prayer, praise, thanksgiving, the act of studying itself, the act of searching the scriptures, all of them are done, more than likely you've done them wrong. So I just want you to be aware of that.
What does it mean to, in verse 16, and shall add the fifth part thereto? Fifth part of what?
The priest, whenever you've done a wrong to God or to your neighbor, the trespass offering has a unique provision, and that is the priest makes an estimate or evaluation of how much that wrong was worth, and then you have to repay the wrong plus added 20%.
Okay.
It's called...
Some of us have had it
either. Huh?
And some of us have had it.
Yeah.
That's how they figure taxes.
But the 20% is called the double tithe, and that's what funded the treasury for the most part in Israel, was the trespass offering.
Well, we can make a note out of that here, too.
Shh. Not to, I've never thought of it before.
Yeah. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered to him to keep.
Now, still, look it. He said, it's an interesting thing. He's going to make a trespass against the Lord, but every one of the things that will be enumerated now are trespasses against his neighbor. And so therefore we go back to Psalm 51 where it's against thee and thee only have I sinned. It has its apparent trespass in that I've done something to harm you or harm somebody. Okay.
And lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or have found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely in all of these things that a man doeth, sinning therein. Then it shall be, because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he hath sworn falsely. He shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish, out of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an offering, shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything that of all that hath done in trespassing therein.
Okay. Now, this, remember what we said, we have to see that Jesus Christ did the whole bailiwick. He did everything. He was the offerer. He was the man under the law standing there as you making the offering. He was the offering itself, the ram here, and that totally atoned for the mistakes or the trespasses that you've made between you and God and between you and your neighbor. And he was the priest that accepted the offering. So he completed all of that, but he was all three of them. So all you are is an observer. Again, what this does to you, I can't overemphasize the importance of knowing that he is the offerer. Because otherwise you will think, well, maybe I should have been more penitent, or maybe I should have had a different mental attitude, or maybe I should have done it differently, or maybe I forgot to do something, or maybe I didn't make the offering right. But he did them all. He was the offerer, the offering, and the priest that the offering was made to. Now, of the five offerings, the sin offering and the trespass offering are compulsory offerings. Nothing else in the scriptures can start until those two are made. The people of Israel can have no part of the rest of the services of the temple. They can have no part of the rest of the inheritance of the kingdom until the offering for the trespass and the offering for the sin is made. They're compulsory. You understand that? Nothing about them was every all of that offering was burned outside the camp. Nothing, you understand the body, the parts of it were cut up and cut out, and some of it burned and some of it eaten, but most of the body of that ram was taken outside the camp into a clean place and burned. Nothing, but the point is that thing never got inside this linen curtain. You got it? So, you can't get into any of the good stuff until you go through the sin offering and the trespass offering. Now, then come the other three, the burnt offering, the peace offering, and the meal offering. They are called sweet savor offerings to God. They're sweet savor. They're voluntary. They're only made from a cheerful heart. They're only made in a voluntary way. And they are the highest thing. They're the thing that God desires. They are a sweet savor unto God. You can't make all of these other things Like I used to say, praise without repentance is like fire without heat. Well, trying to praise God or be thankful to Him without making the trespass offering and the sin offering is an anathema to God. It's blasphemy. Okay? Am I communicating?
Yeah.
All right.
I have a question. Will that be true in us in the midst of the study, or is it true now?
It's always true. We just have to apprehend it. Our experience is nothing more than our measure of apprehension of that which is already done for us in Christ. The finished work of Christ doesn't depend on our apprehension of it, but your joy is totally dependent on your apprehension. Your peace is totally dependent on your apprehension of what He has finished. Otherwise, the less you apprehend, the more you will struggle and fight and try to get your own way, and you need this and you need that. If you apprehend His finished work, then you can be at rest. And I promise you that at rest, all things will come unto you with no effort on your part.
It seems to me it's impossible to be at rest without apprehending the sin of trespass.
It's true.
The rest is there, but
I want to show you something. Pardon for mistakes or for guilt or for whatever is related to the sin and the trespass offering. If you don't feel accepted, it can never have anything to do with anything except the lack of apprehension of the sin offering and the trespass offering. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
No, sin and trespass.
Okay.
Now, if you don't feel like you can have fellowship, or you don't feel like there's communion, and don't feel there's true life, you can't have it unless you apprehend these offerings. I mean, I want you to understand that it's impossible spiritually for it to have anything to do with any external circumstances. It has nothing to do with whether or not Barbara likes Harry. It has nothing to do with whether or not, the infinite number of little trips that have gone on in here. They are meaningless standing next to these offerings. That's why this is so important. Okay?
Yeah, even that extreme case.
Yeah.
If it's true in that case, it's true.
Right. Now, trespass is defined as wrong done to God or wrong done to a neighbor. There is an act of evil by which another was injured. You understand?
Oh, yeah.
Now, it included that which he willfully did and that which was done in ignorance. Now, those who are closest to God confess the most. Those who are farthest from God confess the least. You believe, if you're like most human beings, that the closer you get to God, the better you will be. And that as you move closer and closer, you will see a demonstrable change in your behavior patterns. The Spirit says, no, you won't. The only thing that will happen is you'll confess more. If I thought that my walk with God was dependent on my external behavior, I'd be lost. Because I can't meet God's standards, I can't meet my standards, I can't meet your standards. But I praise God, I know that He has met them, and He's my life. So I no longer care what someone's concern about me is. Now that's your inheritance. I no longer care what even I think about me. You understand? I don't care what I think about myself. If I'd spent the slightest moment thinking about myself, I mean, it's just craziness. I'd be in the same trips you are. You don't have, Father, above all things, deliver me from temptation. Deliver me from going inward. You know, even in the crucible of where everything is screaming at you to go inward, deliver me from going inward. Now, all actions that we make, whether it's prayer or service or ministry or praise, worship, meeting need, all of them are mixed with trespass. And all of them have been covered by his meeting the trespass offering. There is absolutely no thing that you can do, knowingly or unknowingly, that he hasn't covered by his death and resurrection as the trespass offering. You understand that? The trespass offering points to things that you do. The sin offering points to things that you are. Sin isn't what you do, it's what you are. Trespass is what you do. That's why there's two kinds of offerings, a trespass offering and a sin offering. What? Now,
I was just wondering why did he do that?
It's not our measure of light, nor our ability, nor our understanding. None of those are the standards by which sin and trespass are judged. Do you understand that all your entire life you have made your subjective definition, the standard by which sin and trespass are judged? Do you see how incredibly evil that is? Because if that's the truth, then there's such a thing as subjective truth. It's only God's standards that have any merit. There's no such thing as subjective truth. Nobody cares what you think about a thing. It's our ideas of what a trespass is don't matter. It doesn't matter one iota whether we think a trespass or don't know about it. There's no such thing as subjective truth. It's only God's. Our blindness doesn't alter anything. Only God's judgment is important. That's the only truth by which everything is measured. And that's why, as we said, our confession must be in agreement with Him. That's why we must know the law. Otherwise, we go on these subjective truth jags. And with the moment you do, you're going to give... I mean, the moment you enter into that, you can feel it happening in your flesh. Mm-hmm. I mean, for a minute, it feels good. It's like eating cotton candy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
It makes you just as sick.
But it's just terrible. All right.
That's a relationship that's filled with trespasses against each other that they don't even know about, but it's covered.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter if it's covered if they don't know it's covered.
They have to know it's covered.
It's kind of like what you were saying before about before the law came, there were no trespasses.
Right.
It was like there was, you know, it was like that was before God had judged him.
Right. She could no more talk to her mother about these things than a man in the moon. Unless her mother was with her at the law. You understand? Otherwise, it'll be like you're speaking a different language. You can't go talk to somebody about these things. If they're in the world, they won't mean anything.
But she can be free of it.
She can be free of it tonight. Okay, I want to show you Well, I don't have to go there. Just remember by in Hebrews, it says, by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. So the one offering had all of these subtleties to it. When we study the sin offering in a minute, you'll see that there are no mention of any acts of trespass. There's no mention of anything, you're doing anything wrong, you have to do this or this. But here, there's all kinds of acts described, in fellowship or lying or on and on and on. But here we see not only does the thing have to be repaid, but there has to be a 20%, there has to be a much more, there has to be restitution. But more than restitution. Now, the much more business is awesome. The idea that Romans 5, when we study it in a minute, we're going to see that we can glory in tribulation. And the reason we can glory in tribulation is because of the 20%. Okay? The satisfaction for each of the trespasses differed. If the party simply died for his trespass, the injured party would still be the loser. You understand that? There'd be nothing. That's what's the matter with today's justice system. You know, there's no thing. If somebody comes and robs me and goes out and spends the money for dope, and I don't get any, there's no restitution. Well, in this system, there's judgment and restitution, or else there's no justice. Now you got to hear this. In God's mind, there must be both judgment and restitution, or there's no justice. It just kills me when I hear people talk about grace around here when they have no idea what the hell it means. Now, the amount of the injury, according to the priest's valuation, is paid in shekels of the sanctuary to the injured party. No matter what happened, no matter what the injury was, no matter what the trespass was, the priest made a valuation of that thing, and then 20% was added, and he had to receive the original plus
20%. Was there a standard, like...
Yeah, well, there's all kinds.
Lies, 20 shekels.
There's all kinds of stuff like that, yeah.
Why lies were 20%?
Now, God was injured by the trespasses. He was injured in the holy things. He was injured in worship, he was injured in obedience, he was injured in honor, he was injured in service, he was injured in meeting need, he was injured in prayer. He is injured in all those things in you. Understand? Because, again, there is a way in which they are to be accomplished. There's a way that seems right according to man. And that's bullshit. Now, man also lost in trespass. He lost life, he lost peace, he lost joy. God, through man, was loser. God lost in the first Adam, and he was repaid in the last Adam. But in Christ, God is no longer the loser by the trespass. Why? Because there's a 20, there, if this 20% is paid, and if Christ is the fullness of the trespass offering, then Christ had to have done something here to repay God the trespass plus 20%. Do you understand? Now, man is no longer loser by the trespass either, because something else happened. We then also gained by 20%. We gained by much more than we've ever dreamed that we even lost. Now this is going to get a little hairy. Let's go to Romans 5. Now, Romans 5 is, by many scholars, is called the much more chapter. Because the second half, or actually from verse 12 through verse 21, is all about the much more. It's all about the 20%. But in starting in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now patience, the better translation, is steadfast endurance. And patience, experience, a better translation of experience, is tested integrity. And experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled shall we be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. Now look at a couple things.
It's like
we being evil. No, I give our children. Yeah. But I've never heard someone, one of these God loves you preachers, deal with this one. The word enemies here is the word that means mortal enemy, enemy unto death. If we were, when we were yet enemies, Christ died, or reconciled to God by the death of his Son, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, there's something else other than salvation. I mean, there's something else other than...
Yeah.
We're saved by his life. We are saved by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. I mean, can you feel it that it's not you? That you're not even one making the offering? He is standing as you, or we are standing as him. There is no thing that hasn't been covered. There is no place where it is necessary for you to elevate yourself. There is no single slightest hint of a spot where it's necessary for you to justify yourself. There is no trespass that hasn't been covered, and much more. It's over. Now let's see some more, much more. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until a law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Now, Romans 5 is allegedly the chapter that turned Luther around. All of the Baptists we can blame on Romans 5. All of the Methodists, everybody but Catholics we can blame on Romans 5. This is the chapter that blew his mind. Anyway, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, the best way to describe it is to use her condition has gotten so bad that she can't even take a bite of food without terrible pains and sickness. She can't even, anything that has sugar, anything that has processed carbohydrates, any fruit, almost anything, except a very limited diet. And her body just goes crazy. But the fact is that all of that was there for a long time. And it's only now when the law is, this law is revealed, the fact that it is there, that grace can abound. I mean, you have to know something is wrong before something can be done about it. Well, that's what this book is about. You're going to find out as we go through this that about you can't even hardly take a breath without error. You can't, you're going to find out in every detail that you are the chief of sinners and the chief of trespassers. Not by what your definition of trespass is, but what his definition of trespass is. But where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Again, the 20%, the much more. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, well that's enough for tonight. Please start bringing a notebook.